This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Station 1.
Good evening, everyone. This is your show host, Marcia McMahon, and welcome to the Peaceful Planet this evening. We are interviewing a fabulous person who is also a very famous BBS radio show host and a very interesting story to share, Dr. Carl Helvey. But before we get to Carl Helvey, and thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Carl. And before we get to him, we're going to read a brief message from the late Princess Diana, and I have a few announcements to make. So this weekend, March the 11th, that would be this weekend, 11th and 12th, I will be making an appearance with my books and doing angel readings at the Visions Psychic Fair, Holistic Fair, at the Illinois Building in Springfield, Illinois, and that will be held both days on Saturday and Sunday from approximately 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. And if you'd like to sign up for a reading in advance or just to show up, that's fine. I will be featuring the newly released older book of mine, the first book that I did with Princess Diana on world peace and her messages that went around the world to various important diplomats who took the message and used it for diplomacy. And so I've been doing this work with the late Princess Diana for a long time, and she has a brief message, and then we're going to get into the wonderful work of cancer survivor and holistic expert, Dr. Carl Helvey. So just bear with me, and I'm going to read this brief message from the lovely Princess Diana. Good evening, and welcome to the good evening, everyone, and welcome. This is Diana coming through. I wish to congratulate you on the release of your older book titled Princess Diana's Message of Peace. I totally confirm that it is from me, Diana, the late princess, and I am addressing in this most important book the dilemma of spreading terrorism and the so-called war on terror. I've been doing this work with Marcia for some 16 years now, since I personally came to her in spirit and asked her to be my voice for peace in those regions of the world that are oppressed by war and suffering and terrorism. I have diligently been working alongside Marcia, providing the world diplomats with peaceful solutions of diplomacy in order to avert more violence and the taking of innocent life. As a mother to my sons, when I viewed the world and traveled to Bosnia and Africa on my landmine campaign, I saw children with limbs missing. I was absolutely horrified and felt it necessary to do this type of work to save the children of the world. So please consider Marcia's book as a guide map for peace, an end to the war, and the beginning of the promised 1,000 years of peace, and as a gift also to our children and our children's children, for the world to finally get the idea that we are all in oneness, unity, and love. It was my idea to reach out to Marcia, and not hers, but also to put her in places of high honor in front of administrative officials. As you may suspect, I was in contact with many of the people whom I mention in the book, Princess Diana's Message of Peace. The book is a collection of important messages and a collectible item, now a bit dated, but it still stands as the record of my early work with Marcia. I sincerely hope you will look into buying this treasure and into my work as an ambassador for peace for the nations. For I was a representative of the divine feminine, and I was always and will be always the Queen of Hearts and England Rose. All my love to her listeners this evening, Princess Diana. So those are Diana's own words about the book that I've recently released that I will have available, and I will be personally autographing these books as well. I have notes from John, messages from across the universe, and I will be doing my art, and I will have angel readings available. So please check out what's going on if you are in the area. So now I am so pleased to finally have Dr. Carl Helvey, RN and DR. He is a registered nurse with a doctorate in public health at Johns Hopkins, and he has over 60 years' experience as a nurse practitioner, educator, author, and researcher. He has published 8 books and chapters in 4 additional ones, and published some 40 articles, presented over 55 research papers internationally, and 60 papers for lay groups. Some of his books resulted from his development and 35 years refinement of the Helvey Energy Theory of Nursing and Health that has been used internationally in practice, education, and research by 9 countries. During his long academic career, Helvey received grants up to $800,000 each for his work with the homeless and low-income populations and other projects. He has been recognized in most major national and international references such as Who's Who in America, Who's Who in Nursing, and Outstanding Educators in American, has 2 listings in Wikipedia. He received the Distinguished Career Award from the American Public Association in 1999. He was listed in the 50 Great Writers You Should Be Reading 2014 and has recently, 2015, been nominated for the Nurse of the Year Award by Medical News. In 1974, Dr. Halvey was diagnosed with lung cancer and given only 6 months to live by traditional medicine. He refused chemo, surgery, and radiation and chose to use a holistic approach of treatment, including the physical, mental, and spiritual components based on the concepts he learned in public health from his research of and using the practice, the Edgar Cayce readings and other sources. Has been called a pioneer in the field of holistic health, and he has taught and used this approach since 1970. For the past 9 years, he has been host of the Holistic Health Show, where he interviews leaders in alternative and integrative medicine and health who use all or parts of a holistic approach for chronic illnesses and wellness on bbsradio.com and on www.holistichealthshow.com. In 2012, he published a book on lung cancer that included the holistic treatment plan used when he had lung cancer, and it's now on Amazon's number one bestseller. He was subsequently interviewed on over 100 radio and television shows. Because of his belief in the value of a holistic approach for staying well or regaining wellness and his desire to help others, he founded the Carl O. Halvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, and you can find that at holisticcancerfoundation.com. And in 2017, he completed a booklet on reducing your risk of cancer, a holistic approach. So, Dr. Carl, we are so pleased to present your work on the Peaceful Planet Show, and I want to give a personal thank you when you spoke with me many years ago, because a lot of what you recommended was very helpful in my healing journey as well. So without further ado, I want to say to our audience, if you are struggling with lung cancer diagnosis or any cancer diagnosis, you need to tune in for this entire program because you're going to learn something here that you will not get anywhere else. So welcome, Dr. Carl.
Thank you, Marcia. I'm so happy to be with you, and I am especially happy that you are advocating for peace in the world.
Well, thank you.
Because it is so needed. And I saw today on the news that Trump is sending planes to Korea. And, you know, it seems like any time there is money to be made, there's a war that is started. And I just hope that, you know, this can be prevented because we don't need war. It doesn't solve a thing. So
it doesn't
thank
solve
you very
thing.
Much, Marcia.
And thank you for mentioning that because I had tuned out the news today simply so I could tune in to Diana and your fine
mm-hmm.
work. But mm-hmm. while we're on the topic of that, let's send out prayers today for their planes be used only for the highest and the best good in defense of, obviously, South Korea, and mm-hmm. that the North Korean dictator would put an end to his madness by releasing these very scary missiles and possible nuclear testing underground and all the things that Diana has spoken of previously on my show, and she does address these issues in both mm-hmm. of my books. And it is very important for people to know, also, in the light of, you know, the reform bill that's before Congress right now, too, the health care reform bill to eradicate Obamacare, is that no matter what they tell you about the budget, they're allocating $54 million for war in this next budget, and
yeah.
yet they're willing to cut the most poor and deprived populations of our country that cannot afford even a tax break on their taxes because they don't make enough to do it, and the Medicaid recipients. So
right.
always remember that your government and America is the wealthiest country in the world, and I agree with Bernie Sanders and his position long ago that Americans are entitled to health care. So
right.
pressure your congressmen and women and your representatives, and don't let them, you know, give you the short end of the stick on this bill. So I just wanted to put that in there because even though I'm not a big buyer into the traditional medical model, as you aren't, it does affect the entire country and the well-being of everyone everywhere. So I'm certainly more interested right now in putting out the vibrations of peace and healing for the world, and you have so much to share. So I'm so pleased that you could come on and talk about your personal cancer journey. And if anyone is listening in this audience that has a diagnosis of cancer, you can access Dr. Carl Helvey's book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer, using alternative and integrative interventions. It's right on Amazon. It's the Amazon best-selling book. And you don't have to go to an alternative practitioner, at least not in my opinion. But anyway, without further ado, I'd like to get into going back in time a little bit, Dr. Carl, and how devastating was the diagnosis for you of lung cancer at a very young age, and how did you determine to go the naturopathic route?
Well, it really wasn't too devastating for, even though lung cancer is devastating worldwide, because, you know, you think of breast cancer, you hear about prostate cancer, but lung cancer kills more people than breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer all combined.
I didn't know that.
So it's devastating. But for me, I went to the doctor as a result of having a dream, and I believe that God speaks with us in dreams if we listen.
I remember that from your book, yeah. So
and
what
so,
kind of a dream did you have that led you to go to the doctor?
You know, at
very,
this point,
very metaphysical and right
I
up my alley.
I don't remember. I only remembered that I had to go to the doctor and that I had to convince a very traditional doctor that I needed an X-ray because that was the only thing that was available for diagnosis at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he kept after me, why do you want it? Do you have symptoms? And I kept saying, no, I don't have symptoms, but I want it. And finally he gave in. And so then he did the X-ray, and then they found the spot that hadn't been there 6 months previously. And so then they asked if I'd come back, and they wanted to do a biopsy and some other tests. And the biopsy came back, and so then the surgeon came and told me that they were going to do surgery and chemo, and I said, no, I don't make snap decisions. I go home, I pray about it, I make a rational decision. And the doctor said, well, you'd be dead in 6 months. And I said, well, that's my decision and that's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to give me the pros and cons of having surgery and chemo versus having nothing. And my responsibility is to make the decision. Can you imagine a nurse saying that to a doctor, especially 42 years ago?
I can't. I really can't. You really stand out in your field in so many ways with all your accomplishments. But that standing up to a medical professional, which no one thought to do in those days, and they still, doctors still have major ego problems, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, any time that you say you turn down a traditional therapy in favor of a natural therapy, they're in horror. And they think, you know, they're legally obligated to give you all the traditional, you know, route,
right,
the chemo,
right,
the radiation, the slash and burn method, you know.
Right.
So I really admire you. So how did you go about determining what would be your choice? Now, I imagine as a nurse practitioner and a doctor at Yet that you had seen some devastating effects
of
chemo and radiation, right? Surgery?
Right. And I had seen that, and I figured if I only have 6 months, I'm going to be comfortable. And with chemo and surgery, I wouldn't be comfortable. And also, I had a dear friend, Ursula, who died last year. But Ursula was always available to me, and she talked with me, and she referred me to a physician. Well, first she asked if I wanted a psychic reading, and I said, well, I've never had one, but what do I have to lose? And So I had the psychic reading, and the reading said, no, treat it naturally. Ursula agreed to watch her dream, my dreams. We got nothing that indicated that I should go for traditional. And so, you know, I made the decision that I was going to do alternative. And Ursula referred me to this doctor in Northern Virginia. And I made an appointment and went, and he did tests and confirmed again that it was lung cancer. And he prescribed the physical aspects, but no doctors then, or, well, some of them now will get into the mental, spiritual, but back then no one did. And so I added the mental, spiritual aspects myself as a result Great. Of having been involved with the Edgar Cayce material.
I was going to say, you must be a member of the ARE, a fine organization that I really respect.
Right, right. Yeah. And I was friends with Charles Thomas Cayce for 45 years until he died last year.
Charles and who?
Thomas Cayce, Edgar Cayce's grandson.
Oh, Thomas Cayce, cool. So you know some of the people in the foundation as well.
Oh, yeah. I was friends with Hugh Lynn and Sally Cayce, the son and daughter-in-law. And I used to go play
marvelous.
Bridge with them and have dinner with them. And so
yeah,
I
the Cayce readings are just phenomenal and full of ancient wisdom and past life research. And he was quite a gifted psychic, and I watch a lot of his shows on the YouTube and find how accurate they are, even after 50, 60 some years, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you were referencing a lot of the Cayce material, and you innately knew to do the natural therapies and combine that with the mental spiritual therapies, which I'm a cancer survivor of stage 4 myself with breast cancer, and I've used that too. I used hypnosis, and I was certified in hypnosis when I found out about the diagnosis, so I used the same kinds of things that you did for the mental spiritual. But getting back to your physical therapy that you determined for yourself, how did you, tell us a little bit more about what you had to change in terms of diet and the amygdala and the B17 and how you got a hold of all that, because it's really hard to get a hold of some of those things. Today, I've noticed.
Well, the doctor had been doing research at the National Cancer Institute, and he was having so much success that the FDA closed him down. And so he continued providing service to clients out of his office. But I found out a few years ago that within 5 years, the Virginia State Board of Medicine took his license. He was helping too many people survive. And so
that doesn't surprise me.
Right. And so he prescribed Laetril, 2,000 milligram a day. And one thing I need to say is using the treatment I did, took 2 years before I was cured, but I have never had a relapse in the 40 years since.
Well, bless your heart. That gives me so much hope, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, so much hope to know that it's entirely curable through natural methods.
Right. And the other thing is, the point that I want to make is, we don't get cancer from any one thing. You know, people say if you smoke, you'll get cancer, but not everyone that smokes gets cancer. And so there's other factors. There's, you know, probably fatigue and your diet and your rest and exercise and your immune system and all kinds of things that influence. So there are multiple factors that lead up to a disease, and it requires multiple interventions to solve it. And so
I totally agree with that, yeah.
So I did the Laetril. One thing, the Laetril, for those that do not know, is, and they may hear in the traditional literature, that Laetril will kill you or send you to the emergency because it has cyanide in it. And yes, it does have cyanide, but the cyanide requires certain enzymes to activate them. cancer cells have those enzymes, but normal cells do not. And so when the layer drill gets to the cancer cells, the enzymes activate the cyanide, which kills the cancer cells, but it doesn't affect the normal cells. Now, you have to take pancreatic enzymes with this because cancer cells have a hard shell. That's why the immune system often does not identify the cancer cells as being abnormal. And so the cancer cells have the shell, and the pancreatic enzymes help to soften that shell. The other thing about the pancreatic enzymes is that most people that do the standard American diet do not have enough fruit and vegetables, which are digested higher up in the GI tract. And so that on the standard American diet, there is so much pressure on the pancreatic enzymes with the digestion that most
cancer patients have
a deficiency of pancreatic enzymes. Now, zinc is another thing that is very important because it carries the layer drill to the cancer cells. Vitamin A is something else that is very important. My doctor told me that it would keep the normal cells from converting to cancer cells. Well, about 4 years ago, I found the research, because I look at the research every Sunday. I found the research where they took breast cancer cells, they took normal cells, they took precancer cells. They put the vitamin A on each of the three types of cells. It did nothing to the cancer cells. It did nothing to the normal cells, but it reverted the precancer cells back to normal. Now, isn't that fantastic?
Well, that is, and I use a lot of carrot juice, so I'm getting my vitamin A, too. I do the juicing still.
Right.
So
now, my diet was 75% raw fruit and vegetables.
Yes, that's what I do.
Additional cooked. Now, we didn't have juicing back then, so that was a lot of salads.
Yes.
And
yes.
I could have grains and nuts, but no dairy, no protein. And the protein goes back to the pancreatic, because remember I said that the pancreas usually are overworked. And the pancreatic, protein requires more of the pancreatic enzymes for digestion than fruit and vegetables. And so there's two reasons why, you know, you use the fruit and vegetables. And so I had fruit and vegetables with 75% raw and then some cooked. I had nuts and grains. I couldn't have peanuts because they're a high source of protein.
Now, they also have the aflatoxin in them, too, which is a carcinogen as well. So all cancer patients need to avoid peanuts. I agree.
And I did use a predigested protein because that wouldn't put any pressure on the pancreas. And I detoxed once a month with a day of all just fruit and juices.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit and vegetable juice. And
That was
all I had on the detox day. And so that was, I took other supplements and I took some herbs. But that was basically the physical regime. And then I added prayer, meditation, visualization, affirmations. I tried to serve others as best I could. I was on prayer lists. I called Olga Worrell, who was one of the best-known psychic healers back in the 70s, and she put me on her prayer list. I was on church prayer list. And so I used everything, Marcia, I could think of to use.
Well, it sounds like you left no stone unturned. And like me, you looked at everything and decided what you were going to do, and you made a brave and bold decision. Now, I was told by my angels when my diagnosis came in that I would need to go through the mastectomy and the chemo and some radiation. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to, because I was aware of these alternative therapies. And yet, at the time, this was before Forks Over Knives came out, and I didn't really have a person to consult with, no clue where to go with this diagnosis, because I was taken aback. But I was put on female hormones for 4 years, which caused this. And I was put on it by a doctor for seizures. So making a long story short, they caught it way, way late. So my angels counseled me to go ahead. And I did, because I work with angels and that's my gift, so I figured they knew what they were doing. But immediately I wanted to get out of it. I hated the chemo. The mastectomy was terrible. And, it led to all kinds of side effects, and I kind of suspected that it might, but what I didn't know is that I already had stage 4, and it was already in my brain. And the last time I talked to you, which was some 6 years ago now, and it's amazing that I'm still alive, I was working on a painting of Princess Diana, and I had this feeling that for whatever reason, I was being informed that I might lose the right hand. So sure enough, after I completed that last painting of Diana in a pink suit with a pink ribbon, which, by the way, I don't support the pink ribbon campaign anymore because it's a joke. But, I do support other breast cancer patients through Reiki and hypnosis, and I teach the diet to the cancer patients that want to learn. But it's amazing how everybody will just, and I did it too, cave to the pressure of the oncologist and do exactly what they say. But in this case, my angels advised me to go ahead and do it, since I'm a voice channel and I was getting direct guidance from both Princess Diana and Archangel Michael and Jesus in prayer. Then I think everyone needs to tune in to their higher self figure out what you're being guided to. Did you have any idea what stage you were, or if you were given?
No, they didn't
have
staging back in the early 70s. So I suspect, Marcia, that it was either one or two, and the reason I suspect that is that most cancer patients are not diagnosed until they're stage 3 or 4 because they do not have symptoms until it metastasized. That's why I think it was probably one or two. I was going to say about the chemo, I have a dear friend, Anne Marie Evers, and she has written all the books on affirmation, and she did not want chemo either, but her family pressured her, and so she gave in to the family pressure, and she had it, and she had a rough time. But she used affirmations through the whole process, and she developed a way to deal with the brain fog and to deal with the nausea and the vomiting and the whole works. And she made a good thing out of it, because she wrote a book on using affirmations to deal with the side effects of chemo.
Well, that's brilliant. And I did the same thing. I made a CD for myself that I could just listen to when I was in the chemo room, affirming that it would be going well and I wouldn't have side effects or be sent to the emergency room. But for me, I developed severe anemia, and therefore I had to have a transfusion. And that was very traumatic, because it took me quite a few months to just obtain a donation of blood from my brother. And I didn't want the blood from the blood bank, because I still think that they don't screen it well enough. I don't know how you feel about that. But, chemo's terrible, and I would have never gone through it again. Now that I look back, I think, well, what was I thinking? Why didn't I just go all natural? But, again, I didn't have a naturopath available to talk to. I didn't know you at the time. That was before you were out on the radio. And so I just didn't have anyone. Otherwise, I thought I was already a vegetarian. I thought I was doing the right thing by just being a vegetarian. I didn't really understand the difference between eliminating all fish, all eggs, and all milk and cheese. That does make a difference. And as you described it so well, it has an effect on the pancreas and all of these enzymes. And, you know, somehow, for whatever reason, cancer cells remain hidden from the immune system.
Right, right.
And so that's the key thing that you're telling me about. And I was taking a bromelain supplement, and I take so many supplements. I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm really fortunate to talk to you again because you are the expert. And
well, I took bromelain also, and and the doctor prescribed that. And that was, I think, for digestion.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, and it just slipped me. As you were talking, something...
The liver and the bromelain?
Before that, you said something that clicked, and I thought, oh, well, I'll mention that. But
oh, well, using affirmations as you get through chemo or the blood. No. Yeah, I talked about the quality of the blood at the blood bank. I don't know.
Yeah, it was after that, but anyhow, it'll come back in 5 minutes.
it'll come back to you, I'm sure. So... So tell me more about how you tolerated the alternative treatments. I was always so skeptical and afraid to go with the apricot seeds because after I would chew about three of them, I'd get a little dizzy. And I have a fear of being poisoned or poisoning in general. I think most people would, you know, knowing that it was cyanide. And I remember you talked to me at the time and you assured me that it was safe because
right.
it's amygdalin and it's bound to another chemical. So how did you face your injections of the...
I didn't use injections. At that time, Dr. Roberts suggested oral. And now I use 2,000 milligram of the oral daily plus 25 apricot kernels. And now
25 apricot kernels a day? Really?
And now Dr. Contreras recommends 3,000 milligram of the Laetril for the first 21 days. And I think it's because they suspect that the Laetril is not as effective today as it was 40 years ago because the soil has been so depleted.
Oh,
and, you know, the apricot kernels, you know, from the tree just don't have the nutrients that they had earlier. And so he recommends that. But I took both, and, you know, it worked fine for me. So I didn't have. Now, I had a person that was following my protocol, and he was taking the IV. And, he sent me all the information on what he did. But unfortunately, this young man, he was a disabled veteran. And he used the Laetril, and he interspersed it with the oral. And he was doing very well. We were following his progress with the Navarro urine test. And he was doing very well, and he was stage four, and it was in the bone, and he went out and shoveled. He lived up in Chicago and shoveled and broke his arm, and he had such severe pain that the only thing that he could find that would reduce it, they talked him into going back and having radiation. And he went to the hospital and had the radiation and got pneumonia. And that was the beginning of the end. And told me, I talked with him a few days before he died. He said, I know that had I not taken the radiation that I could have beat this because my tests were all moving in the right direction. I was feeling good. I was doing everything right. But he said, you know, the pain. And it is. When the pain, when it goes into the bone, it's almost unbearable to deal with the pain.
That's what I've heard from my breast cancer friends. I still belong to breastcancer.org because we have a new forum that they're allowing in there called Only Cancer Alternatives. And we share information back and forth, and I treat Reiki, well, I don't treat, but I do Reiki sessions for other breast cancer people for free to encourage them and give them an energy boost while they're going through things. And I've met quite a few people on that forum that refused to go through all the traditional treatments. But they, for instance, were already found to be stage four in their 20s, and they would courageously refuse to go through any more treatments. But in this one case, a lady I know did have a brain lesion, and because I had a brain tumor, and I know that, for me anyway speaking, the alternatives and the apricot seeds and all the good stuff that does circulate throughout your blood does not go to the brain very well. And
right.
I continued to lose my hand, and I didn't know what was wrong, and the doctors never did diagnose me until I lost the hand completely. And that was terrifying. And
right.
then I didn't know what was wrong, and my angels kept saying, go back, go back, go back. And I was shuffled around from one to the other. And they take 5 or 10 minutes with you, and you know, none of them believed that
right.
I had any form of cancer because I went through stage 3 treatment. But to make a long story short, there are people out there that are thinking more and more in an alternative direction. So I take it that you're following case histories with the Cancer Foundation, the Holistic Cancer Foundation?
That I do what?
That you're following case histories and documenting some research on the Holistic Foundation, or what can you tell
oh,
us
you
about
mean in my cancer
holistic?
Foundation?
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
or I'm just saying in general, you're following
I'm interviewing,
people, you're helping.
And my interviews mainly are to help others that have the type of cancer to see what people have used alternatively. I'm not getting
yeah.
into any research or anything. Now, you mentioned brain tumor, and I interviewed a woman a couple weeks ago that had a brain tumor, and she used hemp, among other things.
Uh-huh. I've used
that. That was
mm-hmm.
something that helped her a great deal.
I saw that story. I didn't hear your interview, but I'm definitely coming back to it because I
No,
saw
I mean,
that.
I haven't. It hasn't come out yet. I've got
oh.
it. I've done the interview, but it hasn't been broadcast yet.
I'll be listening then because
now,
I had just one.
The one that I've tried to get, and I wrote her last week. I don't know if this is going to be possible or not. But pancreatic cancer is one of the most devastating, you know, as far as treatment and all. And I did interview a woman several years ago, and she has a daily routine that she goes through just to stay alive.
Oh, my goodness. We're
getting
a signal from Doug that we're already all at the end of the show, Dr. Carl. I'm so sorry. I have to close out soon. Finish your statement about this woman and give us your websites and how to contact you again and the title of your book once more. And we'll wrap
well,
it up.
Well, I contacted Ruth Bader Ginsburg to see if she would let me interview her because
wow.
she is a several-year pancreatic cancer survivor.
I didn't know
and
that. Bless her heart.
I thought this would be very, you know, helpful to people to hear someone that is functioning at the level that this woman is functioning and at her age because she's up, isn't she up in her 80s? She is. And, I mean, she's still as feisty as she ever was. But I
well,
that
would be an interesting interview. And I am so sorry to say anything else, but we are so glad and, you know, very grateful to you for coming on the show. But we are already at time, and we could use another hour to go all over your ingenious alternatives and interventions and all your research. And you're such a scholar and a fine person, and I want to thank you for bringing this information to the public and for allowing me to interview you this day. But also, I think it's interesting that you are providing this information as an educator, and that's what I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really needs a round of applause because a lot of the other alternative cancer people out there will charge upwards of $1,500 a day to get the information that's already printed in your book. So
right.
you rank right up
there.
Let me
also say, Marcia, that for anyone that wants to know about what I used, they don't need to buy my book. It's on my Cancer Foundation website. If they go under interview, no, they go under a section called cancer, and then they go to selected treatments, and then they look for Laetrile. I have that whole protocol that I used, and they can go there and see exactly the whole protocol.
Wonderful. And that's Holistic Cancer Foundation, and we've had the privilege of speaking with Dr. Carl Helvey. And thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you'll join us again where we can go over more and more of the information that you've discovered. Thank you so much for appearing
you,
with
Marjorie.
Me. All right.
Thank you.
Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.